to episode 125 of the Marvel Studios News Podcast. My name is Sean Gerber, and I am joined, as always, by Paul Herman. Paul, how you doing? I know this is a special day for you because it's a Spider-Man trailer day.
Yes, yes. Very, very exciting. It's a new trailer for Spider-Man and Sony, which, by the way, I will make a very... In the trailer itself, there's an obvious un-Disney thing about it, and... We'll talk about that in a second, but it kind of shot out to me like, oh, this is obviously Sony, not Disney. But we'll talk about that in a second.
In terms of spoilers, or just in terms of the words used?
Everything.
Used. Yeah. I know you're getting at there.
Yeah, but I mean, it was obvious, right?
Oh yeah. So, but anyway, we are going to be talking about the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer, the latest trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home. So like that trailer, this show will include spoilers for Avengers Endgame. We already did our spoiler review. It was 4 hours. And so hopefully, or almost 4 hours. Sorry for slacking. We didn't quite get to four. But thank you so much for all of you who responded to that. It's been a great response to that episode. A lot of you have listened to it. So thanks so much for that. And thanks for coming back. If you're hearing this, that means you must have come back. So you enjoyed it well enough. But anyway, I know we talked about doing shows discussing the ramifications of Avengers Endgame. All of that stuff is still going to happen. Some of that will inevitably come up in this show. But of course, a brand new Marvel Studios trailer takes precedent over all else. So that's why we're going to go ahead and talk about the new Far From Home trailer. And so again, one last spoiler warning. If you haven't seen Endgame, then please don't listen to the rest of the show. But I'm guessing that you already have. So this is probably the last time we give a spoiler warning on any of our episodes here. So Paul, let's go ahead and let's dive into this trailer discussion. So it started becoming pretty obvious, or word started going around last week, especially towards the tail end of last week, that this was going to be a pretty spoilery trailer as it relates to Endgame. We can also talk about how spoilery it is related to Far From Home, but this was going to cover Endgame spoiler territory. I think all of this was very well timed and very well marketed, even though it's Sony marketing this film. We know there's some cooperation, some back and forth with Marvel Studios. Obviously, there's a partnership here. There's collaboration. So it's no coincidence that Joe Russo and Anthony Russo go on Good Morning America, an ABC show, a Disney-owned network, last week and say, hey, the spoiler ban lifts on Monday, and that also just so happens to be the day this Far From Home trailer is going to drop. So we knew kind of what we were in for as far as spoilers being a part of this. And I have to say, without getting into all the specific stuff that we'll get into as we go on here, I actually like the way this trailer seems to be handling, and this film seems to be handling, the ramifications of Avengers Endgame, both in terms of the effect of Tony's death on Peter Parker and seemingly the rest of the world here in the MCU, as well as the larger implications of the MCU multiverse, which I'm sure we will get into. But what were your thoughts when you just, at first glance of seeing this trailer?
Well, first of all, I'd like to complain a little bit, not about the trailer, but about the fact that we get trailers on Mondays in the morning, and I don't want to watch a trailer the first thing on my phone. I'd rather see a trailer on my nice, 4K TV, the highest quality that I can get, as that's not in a theater. And so I understand why studios put out trailers on Mondays, because obviously it's the beginning of the week. You want everyone to be focused in on your product, et cetera. If you do it on the weekend, people are going to be going out. They're not going to all sit at the water cooler and talk about the new Spider-Man trailer, Avengers trailer, whatever. I get it, right? I get it. But it's just really annoying to me, because I'm sitting here and I'm driving and I stop, like, I look and it's like I see Marvel Newscast, Sean, talking about this trailer. And I'm like, oh, God dang it. I don't want to sit on my phone. So I just see it on my work computer, which isn't great either. So I just want to complain for a second that I hate seeing a trailer on, have to see it on a very
obsolete. I don't know. I mean, I'm so used to these weekday crack of dawn trailer drops, because Disney does them all the time.
Exactly.
So, Sony taking a page from that. I'm used to it at this point. But I get it, especially for the timing of this trailer. Like, you kind of needed to drop it. You didn't want to drop it too close to Endgame, because obviously it was going to be very heavy on spoilers for Endgame. But at the same time, you need to ride the wave a little bit. And so after the second weekend, it makes sense. most people who have any intention of seeing this movie have seen it, or at least anybody who has an intention of seeing Endgame and is worried about spoilers and goes to places where they might see spoilers, most of that crowd, the vast majority of them, will have seen the film. And you want to capitalize on that momentum while the world is still talking about Endgame, because I still expect a lot of the world to be talking about Endgame beyond this week. You are starting to get into the rest of the summer release schedule starting this weekend with Detective Pikachu. Not that I care about Pokemon, but a lot of people do, and so that could be a hit film. You have John Wick 3 next week. You have a lot of different things coming up. So this is kind of the perfect, I think this is the ideal time to drop a Spider-Man Far From Home trailer. Maybe not the ideal time for your viewing purposes, but I do think from the studio's perspective, this was the perfect day to drop the trailer.
No, I want to say that it is, but for me, it just sucks because I don't want to see it on my phone or on my work computer. Yeah. But I also can't wait because I knew we were probably going to do a show today. And I also don't want to just wait and everyone do screen grabs. And that's how I discover the trailer. So I have no choice. I just want to complain. All right. I just want to complain. So anyway, as far as the trailer goes, I said on Twitter that this is a very – there's a lot of stuff to chew on in this trailer.
Absolutely.
And it's – I don't even know where to start. So I'll just kind of go kind of broad and just kind of say my overview of what I'm thinking about the trailer. To be honest, I'm very torn on this trailer because it's not a bad trailer. I think it was very entertaining. It's very fun. But here's my criticism. I just don't know how I'm dealing with this new Spider-Man and the MCU Spider-Man. And every time I get a little nervous about it, I accept it. But there's a couple moments in here that just it gets me, I don't know, it rubs me the wrong way. And we talked about in the last trailer too. And part of that is just this is a very different Spider-Man. And people will know when you listen to these last episodes of me and regarding Spider-Man Homecoming, there was some hesitancy here or there, but I came around to a lot of these things, and I definitely am pro the MCU version of Spider-Man. Now, that being said, there's a couple things in this trailer that made me go, eh, but there's a lot of things in this trailer that made me go, yes. So I'm just kind of torn on how I'm supposed to kind of think, because there's the longtime Spider-Man aspect that's in me that I love, that makes me go, I don't know about this. And there's a lot of things in this trailer that made me go, I love this as a Spider-Man fan. So I'm very torn on a lot of different things, but I will say that right off the bat, I love Mysterio. Like, I love the way he looks. He looks incredible.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect. Yeah, you couldn't ask for a better design. Ryan Meinerding, who I'm sure is the one who designed that, head of visual development at Marvel Studios, at the concept stage, and then I'm not sure off the top of my head who the costume designer is on this film for the more practical side of it, of actually making a suit for Jake Gyllenhaal to wear. But the look, I mean, the fishbowl is there, the green suit, the purple cape. I mean, you really couldn't ask for anything else unless you want an absolutely 100% literal translation of the comics, which you're never going to get on the big screen because you have to do certain things to actually make sure a human being can wear it and that it will look good on screen. But you couldn't ask. This is as faithful of a comic book character design as I think we've seen. And obviously the MCU already has a good track record when it comes to that. And this is another shining example of it.
Yeah. And I think that, again, one of the many, many things that the MCU does right is that they know when to kind of go a different direction, and they know when to kind of go stay in that same direction as the comic books. And the Vulture is a great example of that. No one complained about the look of the Vulture. They knew they had to expand on the character. They made him way cooler. They updated him. And now I think Marvel needs to go in and make that from the Homecoming costume into the new 616 costume at some point, or at least kind of adapt that. Now, with Mysterio, they knew that this is a very, this character is iconic and they need to keep him very authentic. And they did. And he looks incredible. I love him. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal is a great actor. And I can't wait to see what he does with the character and everything. So I'm all about it. But I guess for me is where I just, I'll be honest right off the bat, Sean, that it makes me kind of nervous is the fact that Spider-Man is really adamant about going on vacation, and they play off the whole idea of him ghosting Nick Fury for laughs, which again is funny, but it's so obvious that they're trying to, you know, Peter is doing this. But I have a hard time at this point in my Spider-Man fandom. And again, for me, and knowing the character as much as I do and how much I love the character, it's hard for me to swallow that. Now, in the context of just a trailer, I want to make that very clear. Maybe in the film it's going to be different, because he did just come back to life from a 5-year absence.
I think this is the most understandable time that you could have for Peter Parker to want a little bit of a break. And yes, it's also clear in the trailer that it's not like he immediately took a break. He's there stopping a crime, you know, giving the cops a bit of a hard time that he's doing their job for him and whatever, but then, you know, gives them their respect and then says, hey, I'm going on vacation or whatever. So I don't have, you know, just like when he was going to leave the suit behind, and then we found out in the international trailer that Aunt May packs the suit in his suitcase. But, like, I don't mind that Peter Parker was looking at, was going to take a little bit of a break. And I don't even mind the ghosting Nick Fury bit. Peter Parker doesn't know Nick Fury. So for, you know, it's not like Peter Parker
That's a good point, yeah.
You know, he doesn't know this guy yet. How could he be sure about Nick Fury and whatever else? Like, I understand Peter Parker being like, I don't know if that's me. I might still be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, but I don't know if I'm ready to go be one of Nick Fury's spies. Like, that's not my, you know, even Cap had his own reservations about working with Fury. Granted, he still did it, but I can understand. I can understand why Peter Parker, maybe his reservations would be enough to be like, I'm not so sure about this. And of course, he's going through a very serious grieving process. Tony meant a lot to him. And so we see that impacting him emotionally in this trailer. So all of those things, I think, make sense to me. And obviously, it's not like Peter is going to refuse the call in this film. He might say, I want a little bit of a break. But ultimately, when Nick Fury says, look, we need you, period. We can't get Thor. Captain Marvel's not available. Also, Peter Parker may be the first person to actually say the words Captain Marvel in a Marvel film. He's the first one to say in this trailer. So that's cool. But it's like, there's nobody else around who can do this. You're here. You're capable. We want you to do it. And clearly, Peter answers the call. So for him to have a little bit of a period of feeling like he wants a break and having some reservations about it, I think it's totally understandable. It's not like Spider-Man Far From Home is going to be literally just Peter's European vacation and he's not going to be Spider-Man.
European vacation. I like that. That's a deep cut. Have you seen European Vacation? I'm assuming you have.
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if all of our audience has seen it. I'm guessing a lot of them have and some probably haven't. Yeah. But
it's 50-50, maybe 40-60. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Like that actually makes me feel better, Sean, because that's a good point. Because he also doesn't know why Nick Fury's calling either. He knows Nick Fury could be calling him going, hey, I need you. Are you interested in joining us? Like, he doesn't know exactly why. Yeah. I didn't think of it like that. I'm going in because I know obviously he has a plan, you know, an idea what he wants to do for him, or a plan or whatever, or mission, excuse me.
But not everybody loves Nick Fury. We've already kind of established that in the MCU. Right. And a lot of people are kind of intimidated by Fury. So I could totally get Peter Parker not just like immediately being like, oh, Nick Fury's calling. Cool. Let me get that.
Yeah, and that's a great point. So I guess from that standpoint, that's not so bad. And I will say that you're right, that he does do the right thing in the end. It just feels, again, from the old comic book purist of me, which, again, I'm not saying is the right thing to do, because if you look at Spider-Verse, the Peter B. Parker was totally, you know, not the same character that that I grew up reading either. So there, I want to make that very clear. It doesn't have to be verbatim. There's just certain things about Spider-Man that, again, that Peter B. Parker does. He tries to walk away and he ends up, he can't. He fights it and then he goes in, you know, he goes to it eventually. I just don't know if a young Peter Parker should be able to do that. But at the same time, when you explain it to like that, that's not so bad. So there is that aspect that I'm like, okay, that I was a little apprehensive of. I feel a little better now. The Iron Man angle that we get in this, again, for me, I don't mind. And then that's going to be debated about a lot of people are going to be debating that and saying, well, this is Iron Man Jr. and all this stuff, which is a very common occurrence. And for me, I've been very pro the relationship of Iron Man and Spider-Man in the MCU. I think that this is a great this is more of the reason why you do that, because he obviously has the Uncle Ben. He's missing that. Like that's the reason Spider-Man exists in the first place. Iron Man is just an extension of that as being the further hero, superhero that he is. And I like the idea that they're planting seeds that, at least for me, I mean, I'm curious what you think, Sean. I think they're planting seeds that Spider-Man may have a bigger role in the MCU than maybe we were anticipating. And maybe this is kind of where the Endgame success and the Far From Home and Homecoming success will come into play in how Spider-Man's role in the MCU goes in the future with Sony. But to be honest, it feels like they're teasing that. They're not just going to be teasing, you know, in the trailer itself, they say, are you the next Iron Man? Are you going to be Iron Man? Are you going to follow in his footsteps? I mean, obviously I'm paraphrasing, but there's a sense to me that maybe Marvel is trying to explain that maybe Spider-Man is in the MCU for the long haul if they're saying things like being the new Iron Man. And there's my mind started going instantly into a lot of different directions that it made me go, okay, I can accept this. And maybe they're going to address the elephant in the room for a lot of Spider-Man fans as far as Iron Man, the whole Iron Man Jr. thing. Again, I don't prescribe to that notion, but to address that, I'm wondering if Marvel just may have, they're teasing this idea that he is going to be the next Tony Stark, because they kind of tease that in the comic books, right? There's that
I think there's a lot of stuff. Yeah, I mean, I love this whole, next Iron Man angle. And I know some people I've seen some of the stuff of, well, why is it still about Iron Man and Peter's life? Well, it kind of has to be a little bit about Iron Man right now, because Iron Man just died. And so right. with how much he meant to Peter, it would not be right for Peter to be unaffected by this, and it would not be right to even address the idea of, who's going to take Iron Man's place. And I don't take this as literally as some people are taking it. I don't think the question in this film is whether Peter Parker is going to stop being Spider-Man and assume the identity of Iron Man. I think it's just, it's figurative, it's metaphorical. Like, is Peter going to take the place of Iron Man in terms of being the world's most popular superhero? Because I think a lot of people mistake our own point of view of the MCU or their own point of view of the MCU with what the internal MCU might be. Because remember in Homecoming, pretty sure this guy's a war criminal now with Cap. And I'm sure Cap had a lot of sympathizers after Civil War. But by and large, for most of the people inside the MCU on Earth right now, Iron Man was the first superhero that they actually saw. And obviously they were attached to Iron Man, and he's been the most popular superhero this entire time. And so Iron Man kind of is that person in the MCU, and now he's gone. And we see with the paintings on the walls and everything, we see everybody being affected by this loss. And so they're looking for, who is that next hero going to be? And by the way, it can't be Cap, because Cap is gone too. And even though Sam got the shield at the end of Endgame, well, the world isn't going to immediately say, okay, he's now on the same level as Iron Man and Steve Rogers. The world at large doesn't know Sam the way that they knew Tony and the way that they knew Steve. And so there is this question of who's going to come to the forefront of this. And now Thor is off world. Captain Marvel, as Endgame established, she's out in space a lot of the time. So maybe she won't be the face of the Avengers or of the idea of superheroes in the MCU right now on the prime MCU Earth. I don't know what we'll call it right now that there's alternate Earths, or could be alternate Earths. But I think that idea of there, the people looking for the next Iron Man, it makes sense. And for Peter as well to feel like, Tony, I mean, this idea of legacy, it's there. It was there in Homecoming. Like when Peter says, I just wanted to be like you. And Tony says, and I wanted you to be better. It is that idea of passing on the mantle. And Happy has that line in the trailer where he says, I don't think he would have done what he did if he didn't know that you were here, that you were here to carry this idea forward. And so, all of those things playing into it, I think makes sense. And it also, by the way, as much sense as it makes for Peter, which is perfect sense, it also bleeds perfectly into this relationship with Mysterio, because Mysterio is going to put himself forward. We don't know who he really is and what his deal is, but he's going to put himself forth as basically the Iron Man of his world. And that's what Peter is going to see. Here's this dude with the fancy suit and the beard. Like, granted, it's not the same as Tony's beard, but here's this bearded dude in like a fancy suit.
It's still beautiful, though.
It is. It's a beautiful beard. It's amazing. And so, Peter's going to be like, okay, this is the guy on his world. This probably is the Iron Man. So as much as people are going to put pressure on Peter to be the next Iron Man, I think Peter is going to see Mysterio as the next Iron Man. And then something's probably going to happen, and it's going to be that much more, you know, for Peter Parker, it's going to be that much more of an impact on him emotionally, because he's going to see some of Tony Stark in Mysterio, in Quentin Beck. Like, that's just going to happen. You can already see it in the trailer. And then eventually that's probably not going to be the case. But in the same way that Spider-Man Homecoming was all about, you know, Peter eventually, as much as he wanted to be, go be an Avenger and whatever, it was realizing that he needed to be the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man and just be himself and not worry about being Iron Man or being on Iron Man's level. I think in this one, it's the opposite, where now the world wants him to be the next Iron Man. Now the world wants him to be an Avengers-level superhero, and he's not feeling that. Now he wants to stick with being the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And John Watts has talked about that in a couple of interviews, that, you know, Homecoming is the story where he couldn't wait to grow up, and now this is the story, which is a very common human experience, that all of a sudden everybody you ask everybody, you beg everybody, you insist to be treated like a grown-up. And then all of a sudden the world does treat you like a grown up, and that means they're never going to treat you like a kid again. And you might feel like you want to go back to it, and you can't. And so all of that is a great place and very natural place to take Peter's story. But I think it ultimately still results in, you know, Peter Parker realizing that he can't really be the next Iron Man. You know, he can't be that, because Iron Man was Iron Man and that's it. So now Peter has to realize that, you know, he has to be the first Spider-Man, but being the first Spider-Man is good enough, and Spider-Man doesn't just have to be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Spider-Man can actually be much more than that. So he can have his own identity and yet still be, you know, a much higher level hero or deal with much bigger issues than he was previously comfortable with doing. So it's at the accepting his adulthood while at the same time also realizing that, you know, Spider-Man can transfer over to that. He doesn't have to be anybody else. He can still be himself.
Well, I think you bring up a great point, is that he's going to be not the next Iron Man, but the next Spider-Man. And obviously that there's that gaping hole of Iron Man and being that focal hero that everyone can relate to as far as the MCU universe audience, if you will, right? The people of that universe, they viewed Captain America and Iron Man as their pillars, right? They're protectors. And so what I'm wondering is if Spider-Man will try to take up that mantle after Iron Man has been gone, and he becomes that more, instead of, again, because in the comic books, obviously, Spider-Man was a menace, right? Like, J. Jonah Jameson was constantly saying, like, Spider-Man's a menace. He's like, he wears a mask, blah, 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 blah. And I'm wondering if that, they haven't really gone down that road, and I'm wondering if they even will. And obviously, he's not going to unmask and reveal himself in front of everyone, but there's a lot more people in the MCU that know his identity than anyone else really has in the comic books, with the exception of Civil War when he unmasked himself in the comic books. But with that being said, I wonder if he becomes, again, the next Iron Man, in a sense to where he becomes that iconic hero that everyone looks to as protects them. Right now, he's the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Right. Will he become that Avenger where everyone assumes that he will protect them from, you know, planetary crises? Now, one thing, too, I was thinking about as far as you brought up a great point, is being the first Spider-Man. What I think is really a genius idea, What is one of the one criticisms that you could have with Spider-Man, with the whole MCU Spider-Man, is that he didn't create his own costume, right? I'm wondering, now that Iron Man's gone officially, does he make his own costume in Far From Home? Or is that something he does in maybe in the next film? But I'm wondering in this one, essentially, that with S.H.I.E.L.D. there, does he make his own costume? Is that something that he does at the very end with everything going, you know, going on? You've got Mysterio, have his costume. How does he make it? Where
I think
he
makes
it?
The black and red costume. Yeah, I think that's Peter's invention. I think, you know, his two most recent suits that we saw in Homecoming, and then the Iron Spider stuff from Infinity War that's in this trailer. Obviously, Tony designed those, and then the stealth suit totally looks like a Nick Fury designed suit. Peter maybe had some input on it, you know, did some final touches, but obviously Fury probably already had something in mind. And so I think that's what he's going to take this stealth suit idea, but then what Tony gave him. And I think he's going to merge those things, as well as, you know, add some other stuff that's kind of his own style. So I do think the black and red costume is a Peter Parker design. Obviously it's still inspired by Tony's design. But I think that's okay, because, you know, there's obviously Peter, at this point in the story, it's only natural for him to want to pay some homage to Tony in a suit that I think he designs.
Yeah, exactly. And that would make more sense than he would. And again, he would then take someone, his mentor figure, that again, that's been gone. He's had two major mentors, if not including Aunt May, because she's still around and mentoring him. But he's lost two major mentor people. And you got Uncle Ben, I'm assuming,
yep,
is dead. And then you have, obviously, Tony Stark. So when you have, I'm sure that he probably got the colors or inspired from Uncle Ben. Maybe Captain America was his favorite superhero. And then that became Peter's favorite superhero, maybe something like that. And he took the colors of that. And then you have Tony Stark took, you know, designed the rest of his costume. He was like, I like this costume, like you said. But I think having Peter make his own costume will hopefully shut some of those people up. And again, I think that's the perfect character progression.
I think so, but I also think a lot of that stuff is overblown because he did make his own costume. Tony just gave him a fancier one. He made the
a
Spider-Man costume. He made the one that a middle class kid from Queens could make, which, you know, is kind of, you know, so I can't really fault the MCU for that approach. And of course, people will say, I mean, I think anybody who's critical of Peter Parker getting a suit from Tony Stark, and he also kept the most important thing, like he made the web shooters, he made the webbing. So like he made, you know, and that is still his. That's even though he was wearing a different suit, that part of it never stopped being his. You know, obviously Tony gave him the different ones to have like the different style of webbing, but like the actual webbing itself was a Peter Parker invention and remains a Peter Parker invention. So I don't know. I think a lot of that stuff, I don't think you can appease that crowd anyway, because they'll still say, well, the black and red suit still looks too much like the blue and red suit, which was a Tony Stark design. So Peter Parker's just aping the design that he got from Tony. So, and I don't think you worry about that stuff. I think with the MCU, it's all about moving forward. And,
right,
and that's, and that goes across the board for everything that's happening in this story, because I think, you know, a lot of people are still upset about those kinds of things, or also upset now that Tony Stark post-mortem continues to have an influence on this story. But at some point, whether it's like the comic books or not, I mean, the deeper we get into the MCU, the more the MCU takes a life of its own, and the deeper characters get into the MCU, the more you have to satisfy the demands of where those characters need to go. Steve did not follow the exact same progression of things in the MCU that he did in the comic books. I mean, people aren't mad that Steve Rogers made it, what even the Russos have called a self, you know, he was the selfless guy who completes his arc by making a selfish choice at the end, because he decided, I'm going to go live a life. I'm going to go have a life, which is actually not the choice that Steve has ever really made in the comic books, or certainly not a choice that he's stuck with. But people don't get mad about that. And I think with Peter Parker, you got to allow him the same space. He has to move. He has to react to the events that are happening in his life in the MCU. And I think that's what we're seeing here in Spider-Man Far From Home. And I think it just totally fits the Tony Stark influence on this, you know, Peter being in mourning for Tony, the idea of the next Iron Man, all of those things weighing on him, and how that, I think, because I still expect Mysterio to be an antagonist in this film, even though he continues to be put forth as an ally, I still expect ultimately him to be an antagonist here. And this is the perfect way to prey on Peter's vulnerability right now, is that Peter is, in the same way that the world is looking for the next Iron Man, Peter is looking for the next Tony Stark in his life. And we can see Mysterio, we can see Beck mentoring him in this trailer. What do you want, Peter? Oh, being a hero, whatever, requires a great sacrifice. Sometimes people die, this and that. So, like, we see this. Like, these are the, and in fact, Mysterio is almost more of a, has more of a tenderness to him than Tony ever gave Peter. So like, that's why I feel like it's just setting up that ultimate heartbreak for Peter Parker, is here's this, you know, Beck is going to be almost exactly what Peter Parker thinks he's looking for until perhaps he lets Peter Parker down. And I think it's going to be very powerful when that happens in the story. And that can also propel Peter Parker forward towards the end of this film and perhaps into a third film, of being a little more independent, of being a little bit more on his own, and realizing that, you know, whatever he's looking for in Beck or anybody else, he's not going to find it, because there was only one Tony Stark and Tony's gone, and now Peter's on his own, and Peter has to be comfortable with being on his own. Not on his own in that, like, he has no relationships now, no friendships. Obviously, Happy Hogan's there, May is there, MJ is there and knows that he's Spider-Man, so, like, he's going to have a support system. But in terms of having another superhero to look up to, well, now Peter Parker, by the end of this, gets to be the superhero that others look up to. And I think that's a great journey for Peter Parker to go on. I think that's a natural progression of his arc in the MCU. But I also want to make sure we do talk about Mysterio, because the fact that it is Mysterio means I can't accept the other information in this trailer at face value. Yeah, like Mysterio is at least... Well, Nick Fury is the one who actually says that he's from another Earth. He's from Earth, but not ours. And so I'm wondering if, like, has Nick Fury independently... is this really Nick Fury? I think it is. But
yeah.
Is this really Nick Fury? And I think it is. So has Nick Fury independently confirmed this information, or is he just taking Beck's word for it? I really hope he's not taking Beck's word for it. I don't need Nick Fury being, like, easily duped again. Like, I hope there is something there, but... You can't put it past Mysterio to say that he's from another Earth and he's not. You know, it would just be totally in character for Mysterio to be lying about the whole thing. But it would also be in character if there actually is a multiverse in the MCU. Well, there is a multiverse. Doctor Strange, established that there's a multiverse. And now we have the idea of branching alternate timelines, whatever you want to call them, coming out of Endgame, which we can get more into when we actually discuss more of those ramifications. So those kinds of things are possible. And so the lie may not be that Mysterio is from another Earth. He could be from an alternate Earth. And perhaps the only lie is that he's not a hero from that Earth. Or even if he is a hero from that Earth, on our planet, he's going to be an antagonist, because maybe he doesn't like the fact that he got torn into that, you know, there's some hole now in the dimensional wall between our worlds as a result of the actions of the people in the MCU's prime Earth, the MCU's prime timeline. Maybe he's not happy about that, and maybe he's out for revenge. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to react too much to the multiverse thing. I'm excited by the possibility of it, but I also feel like you can't trust Mysterio, so I don't know what all this is ultimately going to prove to mean, which I'm glad about, because if it were easy to accept things at face value, then I'd say this trailer spoiled way too much.
Exactly. So I'm going to go ahead on the record and say I don't think he's from the multiverse. But there is evidence that you could have from the comic books that they may have inspired this from. Because in the Spider-Man crossover between Miles Morales and Spider-Man, those two characters from I think around 2010, 11-ish, maybe 12, around that area, Mysterio goes into the Miles Morales universe. And because in the Ultimate Universe, there was like a Scorpion version, there's like the 616 version, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Mysterio version is actually the same one from both universes. So what I'm wondering is if, because that's already been established in the 616 universe, and they're maybe looking at the character, they thought, oh, maybe this helped inspire them that, let's say he's from that universe, or maybe let's have him be from the different universe. I don't think that's going to happen, but that there is some kind of history with him traveling between different universes, at least from that aspect. Also, in the comic books, Mysterio died, went to hell, got resurrected, and it's really complicated. So, for the record, Mysterio is kind of a complicated character, and so I don't really know what they're going to do with his origin. But I think there is definitely some evidence that you could point to that, maybe say, you know, they're using the different inspirations from that. But I don't think so. I think Mysterio is 100% lying. And I know in the comic books he was a stunt guy. He did special effects, and I think later on they retconned it to be...
Yeah, we're definitely past movie effects with the stuff he'd be pulling off here.
Well, right. So here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if he is like an inventor. He is something like that. And he's also an actor of some kind. And that's where I'm thinking there's obviously more to the story, because his name's Mysterio, right? I mean, come on. So there's something that he's hiding, and I think he's acting, obviously.
He's from Earth, got to go to an alternate Earth because of a rip in the timeline, got this new tech or this new magical whatever, and brought it back.
That's possible. I just for some reason think that he's not from another universe. I don't think, but here's what I do think. I think he has to be some kind of master inventor, because he has all his stuff. I think that has to play in a part, because you want to make him be, you know, have him believable that this guy, because obviously Jake Gyllenhaal was not cast to be a one-off guy, just like Michael Keaton wasn't. So I think these guys are all going towards the Sinister Six. And that's a very, to me, an obvious thing. So I think that they have to, again, what powers these villains is that they have a connection to their family. Now there is that, there's that picture you see him where he shakes Spider-Man's hand. He's wearing a wedding ring. And so I think there's a connection with this Mysterio is there's, and in the comics, he has a daughter there, that's been established. So what I think is they're going to play off maybe the Scott Lang, that in the whole Iron Man aspect of having a family. I think Mysterio has a family. And I think what he's trying to do is he knows that there's an alternate dimension. And I think that he's from this universe. I think that this is all confirmed. But I think that what he's going to try to do, he's going to try to almost like a kingpin. He's going to try to transport himself into a different reality because he lost his wife and daughter. And I bet he was dusted. And when he came back from being dusted, he thought his family came back too. They did, because I think they're really gone. They're gone, like as Rocket would say from Endgame. And I think he's bitter. And I think he wants to get back to where he, you know, a different reality that he can go back and find his family. And he won't be able to do that. And he's using all his tricks and all those things that he's doing as Mysterio to try to get back and to, you know, whatever. Again, I don't know why he, you know, what he's trying to do exactly, but I think he's trying to get back to a different reality to see his family again. That's why you have the wedding ring. So that's where I'm going with this. I think Mysterio is almost like the evil Iron Man, to where it's the opposite, whereas he lost his family instead of his, his family losing him. And he's trying to get back to get his family back. And what's also interesting, if you go about that aspect, if he tells Spider-Man, I need to go back and see my family, that's where I'm trying to go back to. Not just because I'm a hero, but I have someone to go back to. You have Spider-Man playing off Spider-Man's emotions, because not only is he losing, he lost Tony, and Mysterio is going to play off that aspect that he's going to have that, again, that mentor figure that he lost in Tony, he has back in with Mysterio. With Mysterio, he also can say, I got to help him because I couldn't help Tony get his family back. I can help Mysterio, probably really his name. I can help Mysterio get his family back. But he's also, obviously, he's going to be revealed that he can't trust everyone. Just because they say something doesn't mean he can trust them, because that's what Mysterio is going to do. He's going to betray his trust, and he's going to learn a very valuable lesson that very, very many young people have to learn, that not everyone is who they seem. And it's going to, you know, play off that trust aspect that Spider-Man doesn't really have an issue with necessarily right now. And that's what's going to happen. I kind of predicted that was going to be the main factor. I mean, it's obvious what the main factor is, that they're going to be teaming up, quote unquote, is that he's going to learn the value of not trusting everybody. And it's really going to play off those Iron Man heartstrings. And I think I'm really looking forward to it, because Jake Gyllenhaal is an amazing actor.
Yeah.
So, and has an amazing beard. So I'm ready for it. So that's what I'm going all in on. I'm wondering if other people who listen to the show think that if I'm crazy. I'm wondering, hit me up on Twitter and everything. Let's see how accurate I am.
I think what you've thrown out there is perfectly plausible. I think it wouldn't shock me if that were the case. And there could be other mechanics to it, because John Watts, in another interview, talked about, you know, different dynamics that could come up just because of the way you have half the world is split here. Half of them lived the last 5 years. The other half didn't. And what if his family's not dead? What if his family just moved on? You know, I mean, because you could lose your family multiple ways.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And so if Mysterio is somebody who disappeared and then comes back 5 years later, and maybe his wife remarried or whatever, like any of those things could have potentially happened to him. And so that could be enough for him to be like, well, I want to go start again on another Earth, or just whatever the case may be. Or if he really is from another alternate reality, if he has a family he can't get back to, that's certainly a reason for revenge and something to take out on this world. So I think the idea of him having a family could play in from multiple ways, although I wouldn't be surprised if it's the way that you laid out here. But obviously family is obviously a strong motivator, and we see it multiple times throughout the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So one way or another, his family factoring into his motivation seems pretty likely. And that's also a way, because that's the other thing that the MCU likes to do, though, is with their antagonists, is they don't like to make them very often mustache twirlers. They try to give them real reasons for doing what they're doing, even though what they're doing is ultimately wrong, and everybody can see that it's wrong. You know that the motivations, there is something good at the heart of what they're doing, even if they, again, they still ultimately are making the wrong choice. There's something that allows it to be at least a little bit relatable. So I think his family factoring into it definitely plays a role. But what I kind of hope that, what I do hope happens as a result of this, I do hope that the multiverse tease is not just a complete and empty swerve in this. So even if Mysterio isn't from the multiverse, even if he's from here, I still kind of hope we find out that even though this guy wasn't from there, that the multiverse still exists. Because that is such a big idea to tease in a trailer and then just say, just kidding, in a movie. And that's the kind of thing where I'm like, eh. And I know I'm sure there's other things that people are wondering if we're going to talk about. Well, if there's a multiverse, doesn't that mean they can cross things over with the SUMC, with Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse, or is this how they're going to bring the mutants into the MCU? I guess all of those things are hypothetically possible, especially the mutant thing. If we are really opening the door to the multiverse in this movie, which I'm not 100% sure that we are, but door's being opened, then, you know, then sure, that could be a potential way for the mutants to come into it. But for me, it's like, well, there are so many options on the table for bringing the mutants into the MCU, and this would just potentially be one of them. I don't think, by the way, I've seen some people being like, well, this is going to be how Sony's going to take Spider-Man out of the MCU, is that this Peter Parker is going to leave the MCU Prime Earth and go to whatever Earth houses the SUMC or Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse. Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse is a completely different thing. It's its own thing. And then even for the SUMC, I don't think that's going to happen. When I saw this trailer, and I know where the concern comes from. I mean, we've expressed similar concerns over the past, you know, in the past. We've talked about how, well, as far as we know, as far as anybody has officially said, the deal for Sony sharing Spider-Man with Marvel Studios and Disney, that deal expires with Spider-Man Far From Home. But it's important to keep in mind that just because an extension hasn't been announced, it doesn't mean an extension hasn't already happened or hasn't already been agreed upon, because Marvel's not announcing anything. I mean, we all know that like a Black Widow movie is happening, but Marvel Studios still isn't announcing it. We all know Eternals is happening, but there's no official announcement. So we know the MCU is going to continue, and we know that things are happening, but we also know all the reasons why Marvel Studios isn't saying anything right this second. And that could include another Marvel Studios produced Spider-Man solo film. And I'm actually much more hopeful than I've been recently. I mean, I know the success of Venom makes people think that now Sony feels like, you know, Sony might feel like they can do this on their own again. They don't need Marvel Studios. And yeah, it's possible they could feel that way. But it's also important to recognize that Sony and Marvel Studios seem to be working together in the terms of how this marketing campaign is being coordinated. I don't believe there's no coordination. Like, there's no way. You know, with the date of this trailer drop, with the content that's in this trailer that focuses so much on the movie that's in theaters right now, I feel like they are collaborating. That, to me, is a sign of an active partnership, not one that's about to end. Maybe I hope I'm not proven to be wrong on that at some point, but I'm actually encouraged that it's now more likely than not that there's already an extension in place, and that's why Marvel Studios is willing to even tease big ideas like the multiverse. And the extension probably has been in place for a while, honestly, you know, why they're willing to tease big ideas like the multiverse and do it in a different way than Doctor Strange. It's one thing to have Stephen Strange zip through a bunch of different realities in one sequence in Doctor Strange and then have him enter a dark dimension later versus the idea of actual alternate Earths that are so similar to ours and introducing the idea, even if it proves to not be accurate for Mysterio, just even introducing that idea of people from other realities being able to come over to ours or the prime MCU reality or MCU Earth. Those are the kinds of things I don't feel like Marvel Studios would even agree to, since they're the ones producing this film for Sony. I feel like they would have been hesitant to do that kind of stuff if they didn't already have some assurances that this was going to continue. Why introduce all these kinds of big concepts in Far From Home if you feel like Sony is just going to pull the rug out from under you and take Spider-Man away at the end of this movie. You know, there's just too much. There seems to be too much cooperation right now for me to feel like anybody's on the way out.
Yeah, that's exactly what the impression that I got, especially the fact that they keep saying that Spider-Man's the next Iron Man. And again, metaphorically, not literally, like, whatever. But I think that there's...
But yeah, there's, I mean, it still teases him as a centerpiece of the MCU going forward.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I took out of it. And I think that's what most people are understanding it to be, is that there's... It's not just going to be your new Iron Man, then you're going to be gone. Like, I think this is a big deal. The fact the way they've advertised this, and especially with Endgame being going to be the biggest movie of all time, it only behooves Sony to keep doing these. Yeah. And the fact that Spider-Man is, again, going to be this next focal point, it's a big deal. So yeah, this is really exciting. I think this is a more exciting trailer for the long term than it is even just for the now, if that makes any sense.
Well, and I think Far From Home's going over $1 billion, which the Spider-Man franchise has never done. I mean, I know you adjust for inflation and the growth of the international box office, you know, the growth of the international market, and you'd say Raimi's films would have done that, which is true, but we don't live in that world and we can't just correct for one variable. So Spider-Man franchise has never actually reached $1 billion, and I feel like it's going to now with Far From Home, because I think that's the thing, is that with Homecoming making $880 million, and you say Venom broke the $800 million mark as well, so that should point to maybe Sony wouldn't be as interested in this partnership going forward. But remember that Homecoming was $880 off of just a little over $700 from Amazing Spider-Man 2, so despite Amazing Spider-Man 2 being a bad movie that people didn't like and the lowest grossing Spider-Man film ever, they actually, a lot of times you can, when that happens, you can, your next movie can be better and you'll still make less money because people don't trust your franchise after the previous entry. With Homecoming, it actually went up, and I feel like it's going to go up again because Marvel's brand is even, it's like crazy to even think about, but it's accurate. Marvel Studios' brand is even bigger now than it was when Homecoming came out just 2 years ago. And, you know, their momentum is that much stronger. And so I think that, plus the elevated interest in this version of Spider-Man coming off of Infinity War and Endgame, I think that rolls right into another big jump at the box office for this franchise. And I think that's too much for Sony to walk away from. I really don't see, you know... They might feel like they could go back to making their own Spider-Man movies that would make $800 million, but they're not going to be able to go back to making their own Spider-Man movies that are making $1 billion at the box office. Mm-hmm. And so I think, obviously, this will reaffirm that it's in Sony's best interest to continue this partnership with Marvel Studios, and obviously it benefits Marvel Studios because it gives them a wildly popular hero to keep at the center of their universe. Not that, you know, obviously Black Panther, Captain Marvel, they'll still be a part of this. They'll still be at the center of this as well. But the MCU is built on multiple heroes that can be centerpieces of the universe. It's not necessarily one thing. Just like, you know, I think the MCU, we talked about it on our Cap in the Endgame show, how the MCU took on another level when Cap became an equal centerpiece to Iron Man throughout the MCU in terms of the mainstream audience perception. And so I think having an MCU where Spider-Man, Black Panther, and Captain Marvel are all at the center, that's the strongest MCU that you can have right now. So I have a lot of confidence coming off of this trailer that the partnership is going to continue, and this won't be the last time we see a Marvel Studios-produced Spider-Man solo movie. But anyway, I do hope, and because of that, though, I still hope that this multiverse tease, even if Mysterio's full of crap, okay, but I still want some form of multiverse to be confirmed in this, and some type of hole between the dimensions, you know, some type of overlap between the multiverse. I want that to be established in this film, even if it's Mysterio who is, like, as I said, even if he's completely lying. But then we find out, what if it's a combination of these things? Like, Mysterio is from Earth, but maybe he's discovered something. Maybe not, you know, as I was saying earlier, maybe not all the way traveled into the other dimension, but maybe he's discovered something and he's found some way to manipulate it, some anomaly coming from the hole between dimensions, and that is what he's working with. And so what if what he's working with ultimately proves to be more than he thought it was? And that's where we start establishing more of the multiverse for real in the MCU, not just Mysterio feeding some story to Nick Fury. So anyway, it's just a long way of saying I hope the multiverse is still very real in Spider-Man Far From Home, even if Mysterio's portion of it isn't all that it seems. Because I don't want just multiverse, psych.
Yeah, I think we already know it exists in Endgame.
But not in this way, though. Like
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Yeah. I
like the full-on ripple effect of Endgame and the multiverse bleeding into itself, like, you know, bleeding into, you know, these realities bleeding into one another, that's not 100% established in Endgame. That's something you have to establish as this is actually happening. Like, Endgame shows it could happen.
Yeah.
But that's Far From Home would be the one that's now teasing it will happen.
I can see that. I can see that. I just for me, the multiverse, it just feels very anti-Spider-Man. Again, not the exception of Spider-Verse, which is its own, like you said, thing. It just at this point, it's like, well, I don't know. I just think it'd be more interesting if Mysterio is just lying, and that also kind of goes into his name and also just his character. Yeah. I don't know. I'm with you.
I'm totally fine with him being a liar, but I also love the idea of him. Maybe he did find stuff from the multiverse, and maybe he's manipulating it, and so it's true. But he's not really part of it. But if he still has some sort of connection to it that makes it real by the end of the film, even if it's a connection that he didn't realize was real. Or was a lot bigger than this. I would like that. I mean, I wouldn't want the multiverse to just be a complete and total fake out. I'm fine of it being Mysterio faking everybody out, but I don't want it to be Marvel faking the audience out in the trailer of like, just kidding, guys, this has nothing to do with the multiverse at all. I mean, if it works in the plot, I'm not going to say that I'm going to be mad at Marvel Studios, and I will definitely hate Spider-Man Far From Home if that's the case. Mm-hmm. I'll have to see the movie for myself, but there will be a part of me that's like, yeah, I don't know, but
we'll see.
I'll have to see. But there are a few things I want to bring up before we get out of here. Actually, I'm going to start with some people to thank. So I want to thank Orion Zangara, James Kaplan, Oni Omoreji, Edgar Barron, Matthew Parker, Alex Jorgensen, Matthew Parker, well, I guess I said Matthew twice, Mark Russell, Mail, Bobby Rosales, Jesper, Timothy Tyler, Matt Gilbert, Chris Kruger, and Austin Coleman. There's a lot of them. They are the latest patrons over at patreon.com/Marvel Studios News, which means they have access to content that's not available anywhere else. That includes getting this show 24 hours early before anybody, but there's also exclusive content that's never available anywhere else. We have Patreon credit scenes where we discuss an additional topic on top of our main episodes, and that early access and the Patreon credit scenes are available for just $1 a month. So for this week, we're actually going to be talking about some of the Marvel television news, Ghost Rider and Hellstrom on Hulu. We're going to be talking about that for the Patreon credit scene, but we also have multiple Q&A shows every week. We have a daily news show every Monday through Friday. We have a Patreon exclusive Discord, a great community over there where we're talking Marvel all the time. I also started doing office hours over there where you can chime in and talk to me, where I usually go about an hour or so per week to go ahead and talk Marvel with anybody who's around. And we also have other exclusive Marvel Unlimited Book Club. And cool thing about all the exclusive content, all the exclusive audio, is that you will get your own private RSS link that you can put into a podcatcher like Apple Podcasts. It gets you all of the content, the main show, and the Patreon exclusives all in one feed, so you don't have to track it down in multiple places. And for more information on that, you can visit patreon.com/Marvel Studios News. Now, Paul, let's get back into some of these other things that weren't revealed by the trailer, but they were revealed by John Watts in a separate interview with Fandango. So I'm not sure if you had a chance to look at this. But I will go over some of the highlights that we haven't already brought up in the trailer. John Watts did say that Mysterio and these elemental creatures are from the same sort of parallel dimension. But of course, if Mysterio is lying about being from a parallel dimension, and that's a plot point, obviously John Watts would lie about it in an interview. So we can't really take that at face value either. Mm-hmm. John Watts did confirm, as I think we would assume, there's no Miles Morales in this film. He did acknowledge that the film's still being edited, so Miles could be added, but Miles isn't going to be added. No Miles Morales in this. Aunt May was dusted and came back, just like Peter Parker, so she was also gone for the 5 years. I think that's the right call in this, because I can't imagine Aunt May being super like pro Peter Parker with Spider-Man if she just spent 5 years mourning him. So yeah. I think that's probably the right call. John Watts would not clarify which snap opened the door to the multiverse, because we've seen three in the MCU, but there might have been a fourth. We saw the one in Infinity War that killed half of everybody. We saw the one from Hulk in Endgame that brought everybody back. We saw Iron Man snap that took out Thanos and his army. There was also, I don't know if it was a snap, but we also know that Thanos used all six Infinity Stones at once when he tried to, when he destroyed the Infinity Stones in Endgame. So any one of those incidents, in theory, could have opened a door to the multiverse, or they all could have opened doors to the multiverse. And it does look like we will meet some characters who aged 5 years since Homecoming. John Watts teased that maybe that's something that would be in the works here. But maybe the most surprising thing here, and again, could just be a lie, but contrary to previous reports, John Watts says Michael Keaton is not in this movie. So back when we had reports of Michael Keaton being in the movie, we talked about the idea of setting up Sinister Six and all of that. I don't know if I completely believe that Michael Keaton is not in the movie, but we never really saw any set photos with him. Granted, all of his scenes could have been shot on a soundstage, but it has me thinking that if Michael Keaton is in this movie, it's more of a mid or post credit scene thing.
Yes.
As opposed to, because the way it was reported, you would have thought that maybe he would actually have a full on like supporting role in this movie. And I don't see where that is based on these trailers. And if John Watts is saying he's not in the film, while I won't accept that that means Michael Keaton's not in the film at all, I do think it means that if he's in it, it would be a surprise appearance, and those are usually brief.
Yeah, I think that I'm with you on that one. I think it's definitely probably an end credit scene if he is.
Yeah, which is fine. I don't need him to, especially if we're going to go Sinister Six. Like, I wouldn't want him to be another villain in this one. If we already have Mysterio and Vulture is going to come back, it would almost feel like if he was a supporting character in this one, you would have to have him make a hero turn. And I don't know if that's the best move for Michael Keaton's character just yet. I mean, I would accept it and it could be interesting, but I certainly like the idea of building to a Sinister Six. And so that probably works better if it's a mid or post credit scene or some other surprise appearance. John Watts also said that Adrian Toomes' daughter, Liz, played by Laura Harrier, she is not in this movie. At least that's according to John Watts. But overall, I just want to say, if it's not clear, because I know we discussed all the different possibilities and all the different ramifications coming out of this, I really like this trailer. I think this feels like a very natural progression for where things would go in Peter Parker's story. This all just feels so organic, and I think it also shows that Endgame matters in a lot of different ways. I mean, what happened in Avengers Endgame, it matters to Peter Parker right here and now. It's an important part of his present and his future. And of course, depending on if there's anything real to this idea of the multiverse, that clearly could open up things in a big, big way for the MCU. And we'll talk more about that when we discuss Endgame and its ramifications in a future episode. Hopefully our next episode, unless something else comes up that bumps it in the episode order. But and there's a lot of stuff to think about. And as we said, I mean, with Mysterio, you can't accept what you're told about him at face value. You can't accept what he says at face value. And so because of that, I know some people have said, I know you talked about differences between a Sony trailer and a Disney trailer. I'm sure one of the differences was Nick Fury saying, bitch, please, to Peter Parker, which I didn't have a problem with.
I don't have a problem with it either, but it was just surprising. I'm like, okay, the difference between Disney and Sony.
Yeah, yes. Disney would not put that phrase in, or would not be likely to put that phrase in a trailer. But I know some people are thinking, well, this trailer is too spoilery. It's Sony again spoiling the entire movie. And you know what? If that proves to be true, then I will retroactively criticize this trailer. But when Mysterio is usually not what he seems, then it's hard, and you can't accept all these things as just being the 100% accurate truth that will be revealed in the film. I still think there's, no pun intended, more than enough mystery to this film, because when you can't fully trust what you're seeing, then I don't really know that it counts. It doesn't count to me anyway as a spoiler. Retroactively, it may count as a spoiler, but for right now, I don't know exactly what all of this means. We have plenty of thoughts that we've outlined of what we think these things could mean and different versions of what we think these things could mean. And all of those things, I think, are still on the table. I think it's hard to really call any of this stuff related to Mysterio confirmed, nor is it. But at the same time, while it's not confirmed, we can't rule any of it out either. So I can't say that I really know what's happening here.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. It's we'll see what Sony has up their sleeves.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Now, if all of this is exactly as they've outlined in the trailer, then yeah, shame on Sony again for for spoiling it. But I feel like I definitely feel like at least some of these things are not what we're being shown right this second. But I think that's where we will go ahead and wrap up this episode. As I said, we will be doing a Patreon credit scene where we're going to talk about the Ghost Rider and Hellstrom news from Marvel Television on Hulu. So you can check that out in all of our different tiers at patreon.com/Marvel Studios News. You can also find us on our website, marvelstudiosnews.com, Facebook and Instagram at Marvel Studios News, and on Twitter, as Paul mentioned earlier, at Marvel Newscast. Paul, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Herman22 with two N's, a.k.a. P-Thug. I'm also on Instagram, same thing, at Herman22 with two N's.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mr. Sean Gerber, Sean spelled S-E-A-N. So for Paul, I'm Sean. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.